5, 4, command and start, 2, 1.
Welcome to space.
This is Space Wars with Ashley First. Buckle up for a battle over today's hottest space issues, only on IROC Space Radio.
Welcome to Space Wars. A friendly battle and banter over today's hottest aerospace issues making waves in our galaxy. Powered by The Captain B Show, right here on IROC Space Radio. I'm your host, Ashley First, giving you a first look at what's rocking and rolling our cosmic conversations. So get your debates or lightsabers ready. Get your popcorn ready, because Space Wars starts now. Today's point and counterpoint guest is a former Army Special Operations and CIA officer, the author of Humanity in Space, and the founder of Foundation for the Future. Please welcome Mr. Tim Chrisman.
Thanks, Ashley. Great to be here.
Today's aerospace hot button issue is it ethical or just for the FAA and U.S. Air Force to deny the landing of a space capsule carrying a cure to HIV in Utah, but approve an asteroid landing just 2 weeks later at the same test site? Mr. Chrisman, would you like point on this in favor of the veto or counterpoint?
Oh, I've got strong feelings on counterpoint, so I call that one.
All right, then. That leaves me point. I'll start. For starters, the FAA and U.S. Air Force have a right to veto what can or cannot land in Utah because the wishes of the federal government trump the wishes of any state.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I understand laws are there for a reason. We've got to do what we need to do. But at the end of the day, the FAA approved this payload to go up, and it's got to get out of this mindset that what goes up won't come down. If you approved it to go up, it's got to be able to come back down at some point too.
It can still land, just not in Utah, apparently. So why not land in the ocean, a la our astronauts that return from the ISS, sometimes off Cape Canaveral, Florida? Some might argue that a splashdown landing is less volatile than a capsule landing in a desert and rolling several times on the ground before it comes to a final stop.
Sure, there's probably lots of places this could land, but at the end of the day, the government just said a blanket no. They didn't give a reason, they didn't give a why, they didn't say file Form 82 instead. It was just a no. And you know what? At the end of the day, we threw tea in the Boston Harbor for a less of a reason than this. So, like, we're coming for you, FAA.
About that, the FAA is actually in the process of creating a new set of regulations and forms, reentry licenses, called Part 450. They are intended to streamline the process on the launch side of logistics. Maybe if 10 missions had already been returned under this new regulation, Varda Space's HIV cure capsule would have been approved to land in Utah. But you know, the first time you build the wheel in regulations, it takes longer. And hey, who needs Utah? There's always Australia to return the HIV capsule, as mentioned in previous reports.
But this will eventually get to come down somewhere. But the point of this experiment was to show you could 3D print, or you could do medical experiments in microgravity that can do things that we could only dream of doing here on Earth. What good is that if they just sit in space and not come back to where they were launched from and benefit the rest of us on the ground? We don't just shoot things into space for fun. Bring this back. You know, at the end of the day, can we just rally around this idea that if we sent this up, this being the ritonavir HIV cure, it needs to come back down at some point to benefit all of us.
The ritonavir HIV cure will make it down to Earth again, with or without a Utah landing site, because Varda Space created their capsule with enough resources to orbit for up to 1 year before returning to Earth. Perhaps the asteroid was approved on the Utah test site because asteroids have potentially trillions of dollars worth of mining value. For example, did you know that the Psyche-16 asteroid, if captured, has a value of 700 quintillion dollars? That's enough for every person on Earth to have $93 billion each.
And I'm going to be the last person to tell you that I don't want $93 billion.
Touché.
But at the end of the day, the asteroid that came back and returned to Utah was from Bennu. And it turns out just had water and carbon. We've got a lot of that on the Earth. So much of it. You know what we don't have on the Earth? Is this 3D printed potential cure for HIV. I'm going to take this potential cure for HIV over a little bit more water and carbon any day.
Ooh, let's call a truce so I don't have to go another four rounds against you, sir. There's a reason you were special advisor to the chairman of the Joint Chiefs at the Pentagon.
Yeah, thank you, Ashley. It was great being here. This is a fun topic.
Well, to end things on a positive note, it's time to pay each other an intergalactic compliment or spacey pickup line for our IROC Space Radio listeners to use this new year. What'll it be?
You know, one intergalactic compliment that always gets me laughing is, if you were on a spacewalk, I wouldn't lock you out of the ISS, Ashley.
Aw, gee, thanks. And I guess if we were on the International Space Station, I'd share my last freeze-dried ice cream with you.
Look at us, just paragons of niceness.
That's all the time we have for today. Hopefully we've given you cerebral ammo for friendly aerospace debate or icebreakers to talk to that crush this new year. Thank you for being our point-counterpoint opponent, Mr. Chrisman.
Glad to be here. Thanks, Ashley.
This concludes our Space Wars. Thank you for joining our friendly battle and banter over today's hottest aerospace issues making waves in our galaxy. Powered by The Captain B Show, right here on IROC Space Radio. I'm your host, Ashley First, and I've given you a first look at what's rocking and rolling our cosmic conversations.